The Church of God the Eternal presents, To Endure, We Must Possess Spiritual Hardness, a message given by Mr. Leon Whitaker for the afternoon service of the fifth day of the Feast of Tabernacles in Newport, Oregon, October 11th, 2006.
Good afternoon, brethren. We heard in the opening prayer a prayer that asks God to help us to remain faithful and loyal to the very end, to be able to have that abundant life which we are all working toward. The title of this message is going to be, To Endure, We Must Possess Spiritual Hardness. We must learn in our character that we can hold fast. God will give us that strength and that help to go on. We must have that character that will not give up, those strong shoulders that will hold under the burdens of pain and pressure, under the burdens of trial and troubles. When a lot of our older members came into the church, they had that first love, and it was easier to get through some of those earlier trials that they had to go through. There were many trials and tests that they had to go through. And I was talking earlier in the week about my parents. My father was so energetic when he heard the truth that he wanted to teach all of my family and all of our friends. And needless to say, it became a very complicated thing to have a good friend in our relatives at that point, because he didn't realize at that time that they could not understand what he was understanding, and he was trying to get them to understand. So it was just causing a lot of tension and a lot of problems in the family. My mom was concerned about it, and she wanted him to kind of back off, which he learned the hard way, that we are called to be lights of this world and the lights of those around us and not to be offense. So he learned that the hard way. And we all sometimes learn these tests that we go through when we learn the hard way. But when we see what it is that this truth is all about and what we have to grow toward and what we have to work toward, we must develop that savvy and that zeal and determination to endure no matter what the obstacles are in our life. We are called to go on, and we're called on that path. We are running a race to eternal salvation. Through the help of God, we need to go on and not crumble. I know the pressures and the trials are only going to get worse, but if we allow God's Spirit to become a part of our thinking more and more as time goes by, those trials can be weathered and we can go forth. It is falling short of our goal just to hold the truth and to not live it. We must live it actively, even though we go through trials and tests and we have to do certain things against our will and against the human flesh to be able to make it and overcome and grow as God tells us to. So we need that very strong constitution that we build through God's Spirit to help us to endure, help us to push forward and not look back. The Apostle Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, he says, to fight that good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Later on in Paul's life, he knew that he had lived a life of heartache and trouble and trial, and he knew also that he had been faithful. He knew that he was working toward that goal, and he knew what God had required of him, so he was able to tell Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:6, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight in verse 7. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. He knew that because he had lived that life and he had seen God working in his life from day to day. And that's where we must come, brethren. We must know that God is with us. We do have that personal relationship with our Heavenly Father as we go through life, and we can lean on him when these trials come our way, and we can endure. When Moses sent those spies into the promised land, All of them came back, and there were only two that were of faith enough to believe that God would help them go and fight those nations in the promised land and be able to take over the promised land and inherit it like God had promised them. A little bit later on, when Joshua went into the land to take Jericho, here's what he said to those that he sent in Joshua 10:25. Joshua said unto them, "Fear not, and be not dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do all to your enemies against whom you fight." He promised them that God would take care of those enemies and would fight their battles for them. We have to have that hardness of character when we go into our trials and tests, knowing that God will fight those battles, and we must strive for the mastery of our own human nature that wants us to take the easy road and not fight that fight that God puts before us. There is a cost for obedience, and God will bear us up and help us through those if we trust in Him, if we don't take a back door and try to take it in our own hands and our own physical human ways that we can figure out, and we allow God to help us and put it in His hands, He will help us through those things. 1 Timothy 6:7, something we need to bear in mind, because too many people like to get involved in the physical things of this world. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out." So we don't need to hang on to the physical to justify our being weak in a trial and test that comes our way. We need that mindset. What will it take to have that spiritual endurance in our lives? The Apostle Paul again tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." We have to have that discernment, that perspicacity, and be perceptive of what's out there in the front and what we're going to have to go through and the avenues we're going to have to take to be able to obey God. We must be wise when we go through trials so that we don't make those mistakes. It's not going to be easy to enter into this abundant life that we've been learning a lot about. We've been told many ways now that we can have that abundant life if we remain loyal, if we remain faithful, and if we strive to enter into that straight gate. As we know, that way is straight and narrow. We must not bend to the pressures when they become great. It is the time of our call, and we must see our calling all the way through to the end. We cannot default this contract, our giving our lives to God when we were baptized and we went into that watery grave. We can't back up on that contract. We accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and we must go on. First of all, we heard from Mr. Brisby, we must keep those commandments. That is, first off, we have to obey God, or the blessings can't be there in the first place. Matthew 19 and verse 17. Matthew 19 and verse 17. "And he said unto them, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." We understand that we must be obedient in order to enter into God's kingdom, but we must endure the things as we live in this world, the things that come up. We must put God first, and we must always be obedient. Luke 16:10. God will help us develop that kind of hardness, rigidity of mind and heart, and the character so that we won't cave in, because sometimes the pressures and the trials become so great that it would be very easy to justify something and go the easy way out. What does Christ say about what He has entrusted to us? Luke 16:10. "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in that is least is unjust also in much." I mentioned a little bit on the Sabbath. If we don't uphold those small trials and tests, if we give ourselves a break because we say they're not that important, it's going to be harder and harder to accept those harder trials and those harder things that come on us. We will tend to give ourselves a way out on those also. So we must, when we recognize a trial and test, whether it's black and white, we should obey or should not, we must go through with that and make ourselves obey God, because it will hurt our character and it'll hurt being able to always know what's right in God's eyes. The Apostle Paul told of a time in his day that they were not going to endure. And we've read some of these scriptures already, but we'll read them again for the sake of this message. 2 Timothy 4:3. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now 1 Timothy 1:6. For which some of them swerved, have turned aside to vain jangling. In verse 7, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. If they are not affirming what they teach, brethren, they're not qualified to be teachers of the law, because their lives, the acts that they do in their life, should produce the fruits that they believe what they were teaching. These teachers have an itching ears. That's already happened in many ways. We cannot afford to take the easy road and search out a teacher that gives us our own way that we're looking for, the human nature, the human way out, and not to keep God's laws to the strictest sense of the word. The apostle here refers to the restlessness of some people. They're looking for teachers because their ears are itching. They want to hear something that placates their own human nature. But God tells us to run from those type of teachers, not to choose those teachers. If they were really truly looking for a true minister of God, they would be looking for the true principles that were taught and were faithfully declared for many, many years. And those teachers are not going to be shrinking from exposing and denouncing sin wherever it may be found. Let's turn now to Mark 13 and verse 13. Remaining faithful and loyal to the truth is not going to be an easy road. It's going to cause a lot of conflict between families in the near future, probably more than we've ever seen. Just for the very fact that God's word is against mankind, and mankind is against God's word. He's against mankind in the sense that of their sins, not because he doesn't like mankind. He wants everyone to repent and come to the knowledge of the truth. But in Mark 13:13, it says, "You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." The only way we can be saved is enduring, always, all the way to the very end, and not giving up. Enduring carries the connotation of holding faithful to the truth and fighting that good fight of faith all the way to the very end. And we must stay close to God for that guidance, because if we're not close to God, we can slip up very easily. And don't look for a physical way out, because this human nature, that's the very first thing it's going to be doing, is to see where an easier path is than the one we see before us. Matthew 24 and verse 13. Matthew 24 and verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And we'll move back now over to Mark 4:14. A little bit of the parable of the sower. The sower soweth the word. Mark 4:14 and now 15. And these are they that by the wayside where the word was sown, but when they have heard, Satan came immediately and taketh away the word which was sown in their hearts. They didn't have the love of the truth that the ones that fell on the good ground, or even the ones that fell on the stony ground. So Satan was able to just snatch it right out, because the trials and tests that they saw by fulfilling the truth that they saw was too great for them, so they immediately gave up. But going to the next one, verse 16, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately received it with gladness. See, they received it with gladness, just like the ones later on that it fell on the good ground. But the problem with them, they had no root within themselves, verse 17, and so endured for a time. Afterward, when affliction and persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they were offended. They were offended because they were going to have to do things that was against the human mind and human nature. And it was a trial and a test. They didn't have roots in God's word and the foundation of God as the ones on good ground. So they immediately were offended and they went their own way. Let's go back now to 2 Timothy 2:10. Apostle Paul was saying to Timothy, says, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He knew his calling, and he knew that he was there to help the elect overcome their difficulties and make it into God's kingdom. So he was willing to endure everything that he had to for their very sake. And then 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5, but watch thou in all things, he's still talking to Timothy, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. He was telling Timothy that he had to endure afflictions too. In the ministry, those in charge and working with God's people usually endure more persecution and trials and tests than the laity themselves. Hebrews 12:7 says, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons, for what son his father chasteneth not? We're like the sons and daughters of God, and when he sees that we need to overcome in a certain way things that we have in our lives, he will chasten us, or he will allow things to come along to where we will be chastened. He wants us to change. He wants us to overcome because he desires that we be in that kingdom. That's the reason he called us from the foundations of the earth. James 5:11 says, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender in mercy. Jesus suffered in every way we do, and he suffered more than we do. But he was full of mercy. He went through many difficult trials so that he could be that sacrifice for us, but he didn't give up. We need to take note of that example and to follow it. 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9 says, this is thankworthy. In other words, take note of it. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongly. We will suffer wrongly and we will endure grief if we serve God and we want to keep God's way in our mind and our heart. We want to serve God, then we're going to suffer grief from time to time. We'll go now to Hebrews 6 and verse 10. We'll read in that some. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. God wants us to show that diligence and show that we believe in that way of life, that we will follow all the way to the very end and endure all the things that come upon us. Verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them that who through faith and patience inherit the kingdom. Hebrews 12 and verse 12 now. Here's where we can get our hope, is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's the only way that we're ever going to make it through, is to be close to Jesus Christ and God the Father. And that Spirit within us will help us, and it will help us finish this race that we have started. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the crucifixion, despising the shame. He endured that stake that he was nailed to. He did it for you and I. He despised the evil human nature that put him there, but he was willing to do that. He didn't despise men. He loved all those that he died for, and that was the entirety of the earth. And he's gone and he's sat back down with the Father, waiting for the time when he can come to this earth and take over and rule this earth. And my theme was that thou therefore endure hardness, which was in 2 Timothy 2:3. Now we go to 2 Corinthians 11:23. 2 Corinthians 11:23. All they ministers of Christ, Apostle Paul is talking to the Corinthians, I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes more measure, imprisonments more frequent, and deaths often. Apostle Paul went through some very, very tremendous and trying trials. Almost killed, locked up in prison many times. He went through so much for those people because he loved them. He wanted them to make it into God's kingdom. Matthew 10 and verse 11 tells more of the things that we're going to see as time goes by. We used to hear of these things because they thought the tribulation was coming right away. Matthew 10, 21, and a brother shall deliver up a brother to death, and a father the child, and the child shall raise up against the parent and cause them to be put to death. And Micah 7, 6 says, for a son dishonoreth his father, and a daughter rises up against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies shall be those of his own house. That's what God's word does. It separates the house. It's not because those people that keep God's laws and commandments cause it. It's because human nature hates God's way. It's also going to turn on and hate those that profess and espouse God's way of life. It's coming. As the tribulation comes on, we're going to see it more and more. As this end time comes and the laws are passed against us and those that try to do the right thing. Matthew 10:34. Christ said, think not that I am come to send peace on this earth. I come not to send peace, but the sword. So we can expect, if we obey God, if we put Him first, and we continue to endure to the very end, we run that race, we're going to have things that aren't very peaceful in this life, in this system and society that we live in. Because Christ brought the sword, that is human nature, against His will. Matthew 10 and verse 35. For I am come to set man at variance against his father, and a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth his daughter, his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That shows the pain that we will go through if we make it into God's kingdom. We're going to have to give up even on our own family from time to time and go right on in, strive to make it into that one narrow gate, God's way of life. Verse 38, and he that taketh not his calling and followeth after me is not worthy of me. So if we find a side road, if we find a back door, we're not going to be worthy of the call that we've been given. We must qualify. We must go forward. Verse 39, he that findeth his life shall lose it. So if we look around and we say it's getting too hard and we go find another life, giving up on that true way of life, we find an easier teacher to lead us another way, we're going to end up and lose that spiritual salvation if we don't repent and change and go back. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Spiritually, at least, we must lose our physical life for the sake of Jesus Christ. Verse 40, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. So if they're receiving Christ, they're going to receive those that he has sent. Verse 41, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the righteous man's in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And verse 42, whosoever shall give a drink of water to one of these little ones, a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. This has a connotation here, though, that you recognize that what he believes, and he is a brother and a sister. These little ones referred to can be a weak brother, it can be a new one in the faith, or it can be any member that sees his role in life and is humble and down to earth and knows his calling. It may not be much more than a simple cold glass of water, but in the same time you acknowledge that brother and sister and you don't deny that faith that he carries. It says, it is an act of mercy, kindness, and love that you do, and it will bear a reward with it from God the Father. Luke 12:51. You're acknowledging and accepting that person as one true called of God, and you don't deny that. Luke 12:51. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on this earth. I tell you nay, but rather division. Far from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. Brethren, the natural man cannot understand our way, and that's what causes this resentment, this conflict in these houses. Because they hate God's way. They do not want to believe it. That can't happen. That cannot be carried on in God's house and God's own people and the true call. We have to learn to forgive and forget and go on. But this conflict will be between those that were called and those that aren't called in a household. Luke 12:53. Going down one more verse. And the father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. Brethren, we can't allow bitterness in our relationships. This is because people do not want to accept God's truth, and they don't want to accept us. So that's going to happen, probably sooner than we realize. Here, Apostle Paul is encouraging Timothy to have consistency and persevere to the very end. Be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus in 2 Timothy 2:1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in grace that is in Christ Jesus. We need to be strong in the very grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. Let's turn now to Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Apostle Paul is telling Ephesians, you see all through Apostle Paul, he's encouraging them to be loyal, to endure, to go forward, not give up. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. That spiritual wickedness, brother, causes them to make laws against you and I that we cannot function properly in God's truth. And those laws will be enforced someday, and it's going to make it harder and harder for us. We need to brace ourselves so that we will endure through that and go on to the very end. We must be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. When Peter promised rather to die for Christ than to deny him, he was strong in his own strength, he thought, but he was also strong in the grace of Christ that had given him. Christ had forgiven him and all. He was strong in that, and he believed in that, but he thought he was strong in his own strength. If he had been strong in the very faith of Jesus Christ and understood that way of life, he wouldn't have made the mistakes that he did when he denied Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We can have that grace of Jesus Christ and the mercy and the kindness to get through this life, and he will give us mercy and kindness. But we must have that relationship. We must be close to him so that we can call on that. We must be strong in grace, not in ourselves, or in our strength, or in the grace of mercy and kindness that we've already received, brethren. We must be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ. What were the reasons the Apostle Paul told Timothy that he had to be strong? Because Timothy was in the ministry. He was an example to the people. He had to be strong so that he could help those people learn to be strong. He told Timothy he must count on suffering, maybe even to blood. And in Hebrews 2:10 it says, "For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering." So Apostle Paul told Timothy he could count on suffering, and maybe even unto blood. What was the next thing he told Timothy? He told him that he must endure that hardness to the very end to be able to follow through and go through the things he had ahead of him. He must endure hardness. Romans 8 and verse 36. Romans 8 and verse 36. As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." So we must have a thick skin. We must learn to brace ourselves against the trials that come our way. Verse 37. "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." So we can be conquerors, but it has to be through Jesus Christ and through his mercy and through the help that he will give us. The third thing that Apostle Paul was telling Timothy that he had to endure was that he must not entangle himself in the affairs of this world, because he knew very well it would pull him down. 2 Timothy 2:4. "No man that warreth entangled himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chose him to be a good soldier." We were called to be a soldier of this way of life. The way to please him who hath chose us to be a good soldier is not entangling ourselves in the affairs of this world, but to come out of it, because this will hinder the spiritual warfare that we must fight with. The next point that he was instructing Timothy here was that he must see to it that he was carrying on the spiritual warfare. He had to go by the rules, and the rules was God's law. The spiritual warfare was God's laws, and he had to go by those. If a man strive for masteries, in 2 Timothy 2:5, if a man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Are we striving for the masteries? Yes, we are. We're striving for the mastering of our lusts and the corruptions that keeps us from excelling and doing the right thing. We have to strive for that mastery so that we can make it. And the fifth point that he was calling on Timothy here to his attention was that he must be willing to wait for that reward. He wasn't going to receive his reward immediately. It was going to be some time, maybe after he was died and come back in the resurrection, would be the main reward that he would receive. 2 Timothy 2:6. "The husband that laboreth must first partake of the fruits." Or as it were, should read, "The husband laboring must first partake of the fruits." And James 5:17, along the same theme, James 5:17, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receiveth the early and the latter rain." There must be patience, because we're going to endure all of these trials and tests that come our way, and we will not receive that reward immediately. It's going to be a lifetime of enduring that hardness. But we cannot expect to be rewarded unless we observe those laws. If we would be partakers of the fruits, we must labor. If we would gain the prize, we must run the race. And Father, if we must first labor as a husbandman does, with diligence and patience, if we're going to partake of the fruits, we must do the will of God before we receive those promises. That's the reason we need patience, because it'll take time. God works with us over the period of our lifetime and not just in a short order. And over in Matthew 10:22, it says, "And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved." That's the theme of this message, is endure hardness to the very end. We need to encourage one another as we go through life and help one another to run that race with perseverance. 2 Peter 3:17. "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away in the error of the wicked, fall from your steadfastness." It's not an impossibility, brethren. All we have to do is let up, become lax, and then we can find ourselves weak and make those mistakes, and sometimes they can be fatal if we're not very careful. Back in Jude, verse 20. "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Brethren, we must go on. There's been much water under the bridge since most of us have been called to God's truth. I remember many, many years ago, a lot has happened. About 5 decades ago, God's people started going their own way. They started looking to a liberal way. How have we fared, brethren? Have we gotten caught up in some of that? Have we gone out and broke some of God's laws over the years? And are we trying to come back to the truth now and be faithful and make that race a good race all the way to the very end? We must always be loyal to that truth and not slip into sin. I will be the first one to say, even though through the influence of Mr. Cole had, that I always believed that this was the truth, but in many ways I relaxed the doctrine and made many mistakes. So we have to look at our lives and see if we've gotten back on the track and see if we are fighting to get to the very end of that race. It's been nice to be here at the feast and enjoy fellowship with one another and see that we are getting back in that love and that unity that we had years and years ago. I remember as a kid, they just loved to come together back in the 50s and 60s, and they didn't see each other a lot of times for a whole year, and they just couldn't hardly wait to see one another again. But brethren, it's good to be here and it's to enjoy fellowship with one another and sitting down with the brethren and having them to tell you that they were very appreciative that God brought them back to this truth, this way of life, and to see tears in their eyes and falling down their face, brethren, that's very powerful. That's very rewarding, and I really love seeing that kind of thing. We are here together into this all together. We can't look down at one another. We can't look down on a weak one. We must work together to help one another make it into the very kingdom. Because if we look down on someone else, they could probably turn around and see where we had failed. We could ask ourselves, in all this past 3 or 4 decades, have we kept the right Pentecost? Have we kept the right Feast of Tabernacles? Did we break the Sabbath or any of the laws? I think all of us will see where we slipped from time to time and didn't live up to that way. So we don't have a right to down anyone else, but to help and nurture them back to this way of life. This is like a physical race that we're in. God's law is straight and narrow, and we must endure that spiritual race. It's not easy. It takes a lot of determination and drive and hardness if we are able to endure. If you're on a racetrack with other competitors, you're on a between the lines, and it's narrow, and it has defined perimeters, just like God's law. This way of life is straight and narrow. In order to run that race, first of all, you must be trained. You must train hard to be able to run that race. Spiritually, we must learn God's ways and apply it to our lives. Make it a part of our lives. Number two, we must know the rules of this race. We've been given God's laws. We've been given His ways. In this feast, we're learning more and more how to apply those laws and those rules in our lives. On a racetrack, you must know what the rules are so that you can cross the finish line. Number three, you must run to win. We must run this race like we're going to make it into God's kingdom. We all want to be there, and I hope we can. Number four, our goal must be so strong that nothing can cause us to lose that goal or to let up. That is, in a race, if you want to win a race, you want to win a ribbon, you must look to the end. You must put everything you've got into it to get across that finish line. And number five, we must be a winner at the end. We must make it. The past three mornings, I've been down on the beach, and I run into a young man by the name of Mr. Mark Jebb, and we've been doing a little jogging, and I'm learning what it is to train to be a runner. I have sore muscles right now. It takes a little bit to get into shape, to have that endurance, to run that race. And we need to strive to build ourselves up spiritually so that we can run that race. Remember back when I was very young, or not young, very young, but I was in my 20s. I lived in Texas, and we got to running some. And a good friend of mine and I would run 3 miles on Wednesday and 6 miles on Sunday. But I preferred running cross country because there were a lot of diversions and a lot of things that took your mind. But if we got out on a racetrack and run the race, it was harder. It was very hard to run in those narrow lines and make several laps to get 6 miles in. It was a lot harder, so I took that easy way out by going across country. It was enjoyable. But brethren, a lot of people over the last several decades has taken that cross country run. They found their own avenues in which they think is their religion, the way that they can make it into God's kingdom. And that's not the way. We must stay on that straight and narrow that we've been given. Stay between those perimeters of God's law, God's commandments, that one truth, that one way of life that we were given. Let's turn now and read Hebrews 12 and verse 1. I'm very thankful that God gave us this way of life and held us together and let us know that we do have a race to win. We do have a way of life that we need to be going forward on and working hard toward. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing that we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily does beset us or ensnares us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Run with perseverance, not giving in. We must train hard, brethren, just like you were training for a race. Usually in a 6 mile race, that first mile is the very hardest. That's when we run into the pressures. The body wants to give in. It wants to take the easy way out. And that's where a lot of trials, when we first hear God's truth and understand that way, the first part is harder a lot of times to obey God, because we have many different things we have to start out new in. But that first mile is usually hard. And when you get over that hump, as they call it, you can kind of cruise with the spiritual rejuvenation that God has given you from the first part. You can kind of cruise on through, but it gets harder again toward the end. Your body wants to give in. It doesn't want to push right up to the finish line. But around that corner and the bend is the finish line. And we must be loyal, faithful to God. We must trudge right on through that race and hold fast with God and His truth and His way of life, because we do want to go across that finish line. We want to make it into God's kingdom. It gets hard and we can't give in. We have to push through. We have to go on, not slack up. We need that mindset, brethren, that we can endure. And God has given us the tools. He said He'd never leave us or forsake us, but we have to call out to Him. If by the help of God's Holy Spirit we endure hardness, we will be able to endure the chastening of God when He corrects us, when He teaches us and allows things to come our ways, we're going to be able to endure that. We're going to be able to endure the persecution that comes our way. Because if we have the hardness, we've learned God's truth and we've not given in and we know that God is working with us, we can endure that persecution. We also can endure the discouragement that comes our way from time to time. Our trials and tests comes in many colors and many ways, so we must be on guard, looking for Satan out there trying to trip us up, take us in the wrong direction, because this is our life, eternal life, abundant life. That's what we're working for. Why do we give up the physical world around us and the things that we could have physically, the way the world looks at it, and come over here to Newport? Because we are striving to be in God's kingdom, and we must work toward that end so that we can have that abundant life. Brethren, here is what we can have if we go forward and if we work hard and we endure. The whole hope of the true Christian is the resurrection to immortality, eternal life, as a ruler under Christ. Jesus said, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron." That was in Revelation 2:26. And again he said, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne on the earth." And that's in Revelation 22:3. And again he says, "We shall reign on the earth," Revelation 5:10. The Apostle John saw in vision. He saw a preview of the beginning of God's rule in the world government here on this earth by Jesus Christ. He says, "I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That was in Revelation 20:4. It will be a perfect government, brethren. Christ, the King of Kings, He's perfect in character, absolutely honest in integrity and faithfulness, loyalty and trust. He is filled with outgoing concern for those He's going to govern, their welfare and their salvation. He has total knowledge and understanding and wisdom. He has complete love, mercy, and patience, kindness and compassion and forgiveness. He has. He will possess total power and never compromise. He will enforce God's law on this earth, His government on earth. He will compel the haughty, the carnal, the rebellious humans to yield and be completely submissive to His law in that millennium. In the millennium, no one will be deceived, as the vast majority of mankind is today, brethren. All will know the truth. No more religious confusion around, everybody doing what is right in their own eyes. Eyes will be open to the truth. Humans will become teachable. People will start living God's way, the way of outgoing concern for others. And that's what we've been learning here, and I see it abundantly, and I'm really, really happy to see that. The way of the true values will be taught, the right way to peace and happiness and well-being and joy. Crime, sickness, and disease, pain, suffering, gone. Poverty and ignorance will be banished. There will be smiles on people's faces, smiles that radiate. Wild animals will be tame. Air pollution and water pollution and soil pollution will be a thing of the past. Crystal pure water to drink. Clean, crisp, pure air to breathe. Rich black soil where deserts and mountains and seas were formerly were. Producing full-flavored foods and fantastic beauty in flowers and shrubs and trees. The world filled with happy, radiant humans, guided and helped by and protected by those who were once mortal. And all the humans realizing that they too will have a chance to inherit eternal salvation if they overcome and grow at that time. We ought to be praying, brethren, God's kingdom come, His will be done on this earth. If we are faithful, we endure to the very end, endure that hardness of this race to the very end, brethren, we can partake of that perfect, abundant life.
The Church of God the Eternal has just presented To Endure, We Must Possess Spiritual Hardness, a message given by Mr. Leon Whitaker for the afternoon service of the fifth day of the Feast of Tabernacles in Newport, Oregon, October 11th, 2006.